Well, good evening. It's good to be here once again with you this evening. It's always a privilege and a blessing to come back and be able to open God's Word. This evening, before we get into the Word of God, you know, after that presentation, we could have just almost closed the service and had an invitation right there. If you can't see a missionary presentation, if you can't see the need through the Needham's presentation and just be moved and say, God, do you want me to go? Your heart might not be tender right now. After seeing a presentation like that, you should just be ready to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Before we get into the passage this evening, let's open up with the word of prayer and ask God a blessing on the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts so far this evening. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the burden and the need that you've presented in Cameroon, West Africa, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would send forth more laborers to that country. Lord, we pray that you would send forth more laborers out of this church, Lord. I pray that you would be working in our hearts this evening, Lord. I pray that as we open up God's Word together, that you might speak to each one of our hearts, Lord, and convict us of our need to draw closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you look at your lives right now, if you look at your life right now, what would you be known by? What would you be known by? What would people say your message is? What would they say drives and motivates you? You know, we could look through, you know, different people right now in America or in the Wisconsin. You know, just thinking about the recent elections that got over with. You know, each candidate was known by something. You know, people think of most of Wisconsinites and they think crazy Packer fans. A lot of people think of that. You know, people think of missionaries of the past and they know of something. You know, people, when I was younger, just a personal illustration, just thinking I was known by some things. You know, I had a nickname that everyone gave me, accident waiting to happen, because I had lots of accidents that happened. You know, I got ran over by the tractor. I was called Pancake. I fell out of the barn. I mean, I remember one time I had gotten stitches on a wood day. And 2 months later, I cut my hand again, and my dad said, you don't need stitches this time. You just got done having stitches. You know, I was known as the guy that was always having accidents. You know, think of David Livingstone. What was he known for? A missionary that opened the country of Africa. Fanny Crosby, known as somebody that wrote thousands of gospel songs, and we still sing many of them right now. What motivates you? You know, things, people are known by what motivates them. We think of athletes. Many of them are driven by money, driven by fame. This evening, I'd like to look at a passage in the book of Acts and look at a couple things that these two men, Peter and John, that they were known by. What their message was, what their life was, their message. Look at what their motivation was and see in our lives. Is that true of our life? Is this? What is our message? What should our message be? What should our motivation be? We'll begin in Acts chapter 4. I'd just like to read a couple verses and then we'll back up. But begin in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Two key verses in this passage, but I'd like to go back and start in Acts chapter 3 and find out how we got to this point. I'd like to begin with point number one, our message. Our message should be Jesus Christ crucified. Our message. Notice what it said, though, in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. It said, Peter was preaching, be it known unto you all, and to all the name of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So we go back to chapter 3. We find the story of a lame man that Peter and John were able to heal through the power of God. The solution to man's problem is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified. Nothing else. Beginning in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who's seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asked an alms? Here this man definitely had a problem. He was lame from his mother's womb. And what is he doing? He's begging. He's asking for money. He's thinking that money is going to help his problem. But Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He thought Peter and John were going to be able to take care of his problem with money. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See, the rich man, this beggar, was begging. He was expecting to receive something of them. But yea, Peter and John, they had something far greater than money to give him. They had, we'll notice, they preached Jesus Christ. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So, the power of Jesus Christ crucified. Can you look at, we'll notice the power of Jesus Christ crucified to begin with. So, our message is Jesus Christ crucified. Let's examine the power of Jesus Christ crucified. Without the power of Jesus Christ, this lame man would have been lame, and he would have been lame forever. Notice though what happened though. In verse 7, it says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." The power of Jesus Christ, the power was Christ was able to heal this man that had been lame for 40 plus years. It was through the power of the preaching of the message of Jesus Christ crucified. Notice also the power of the message, the power of Jesus Christ crucified. Verse 11, all these people came together greatly wondering what could happen. And then we could go on, verse 19. Peter said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." See, this great multitude came, and Peter began preaching Jesus Christ crucified. And what was it? The power also of Christ was able to forgive sins. He said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." The power of Jesus Christ crucified. Jump down to verse 25. It says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." All nations were going to be blessed through Jesus Christ. The power of Christ crucified. All nations were to be blessed. We could keep going on. The power of Christ crucified. Acts chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection from the dead." I'd say that's power of Christ crucified. The resurrection from the dead. Keep going on. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, if we go back, we notice Peter now is preaching again of what the power of Christ had done in the life of the lame man. "If this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." It was Christ's power that was able to heal this lame man. Go, hop back up to verse 4, the power of Christ crucified. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was of the men was about 5,000. Just the men that were saved at that time. 5,000 men. The power of Christ crucified. All nations shall be blessed. Jump down to verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It is only through the preaching of Christ that any man can get saved. We see this concept of the power of Christ crucified all throughout this New Testament. And we'll look at two other verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Notice the power of Christ crucified. Our message, Jesus Christ crucified, the power of Christ crucified. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. What does Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Friends, it is only through the power of Jesus Christ crucified our souls able to be saved. It is only through the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified that Mukwonago can be reached. It is only through the power of Christ crucified that Cameroon, that Wales, that New York City, that Italy, that these countries that we've heard of can be reached. It is through the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul repeats this theme of the power of Christ crucified. We could read a number of verses here. Let's begin in verse 17. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, Christ crucified, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross, the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified, it is the power of God for us that believe. Think of that. It is the power of God. We could recall countless stories of saints of old who stood in this power of Christ crucified. My dad mentioned Lords of the Earth. It is only through that power of Christ crucified that Stan Dale was able to stand before those cannibals and literally take dozens of arrows and pull them out and break them before he was killed. The power of Christ crucified. Go forth. It was only through the power of Christ crucified that he was able to be faithful. Or William Carey, to have the perseverance, it was through the power of Christ crucified. It says that Paul said, "Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." What should our message be? Jesus Christ crucified. So we've seen the power of our message, Jesus Christ crucified. Now let's consider the priority of Jesus Christ crucified. Let's back up to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, what did Peter say in verse 12? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Friends, we cannot preach anything but Jesus Christ crucified. It is only through Jesus Christ crucified that souls are be able to be saved. Notice also verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 19. "It is only through Jesus Christ that sins may be forgiven. It is only through Jesus that we see the resurrection from the dead. It is only through Jesus that souls can be saved." Verse 11, and also the power or the priority of Jesus Christ crucified. "He is the head of our church." It says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, "Jesus Christ, the head, cornerstone." He is the foundation of our message. He is the foundation of everything that we believed, of everything that we believe. It is Jesus Christ. It is not Jesus Christ plus something else. It is not Jesus Christ plus other gods. It is not Jesus Christ plus good works. That's what the Mormons believe. They believe it's in the book of Nephi, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 23, "It's by grace after all you do." See, there's so many people out here that are preaching Jesus Christ, but they're preaching Jesus Christ plus something else. Our message should be the power of Jesus Christ crucified, and the priority of Jesus Christ crucified. If you have that true in your life so far, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and He is first in your life, you've seen that power in His life. Is Jesus Christ truly central in your life? Is the message of your life Jesus Christ crucified? Are you known as someone that preaches Jesus Christ? Is that the central driving force of your message? When people see you, do they think Jesus Christ crucified? We've seen so far, what should our message be? Jesus Christ crucified. Through these two chapters, Peter consistently and continually preached Jesus Christ crucified. But let's look at the motivation of Peter and John. What was their motivation? What should our motivation be? Our motivation should be Jesus Christ glorified. He was glorified through the product of their preaching. Consider what happened throughout these two chapters. He was glorified in chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, through the healing of the lame man. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Chapter 4, verse 21. It continued, Jesus Christ was glorified. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how might they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Friends, Jesus Christ was glorified through the product of the preaching. The number of the men was about 5,000 souls saved. That is what motivated Peter and John. Nothing else. We could go on in Ephesians chapter 1. Everything which is a result of our salvation brings glory to God. Let's consider Ephesians chapter 1, three different verses, and see everything in our life that is to be to the praise of His glory because of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We could keep going. Verse 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Our motivation, Jesus Christ glorified. He was glorified through the power and the persistence of their preaching. Back in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We could go on, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. These men weren't anything extra special. These men weren't taught in the special schools. These men were just common fishermen. And it says these high priests, they saw what was going on, and they said, and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. I haven't read a few verses, but I'd like to go back and begin in chapter 4, and we'll pick up a few key thoughts again. And it says, and as they speak unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we've already talked about what happened. Peter and John healed this lame man. All these men came together, heard their preaching, 5,000 were saved. And the rulers were just tired of this. They were afraid of what was happening. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So all the religious leaders of that area and that day, they were all gathered together and put John and Peter in the midst. And when they had asked them and set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name or the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And then we hop down in verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. The power of their preaching was evident. The power of Jesus Christ crucified was evident. It says, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So we've already talked about the power, the priority of Jesus Christ. Now we get to this. And we see what the rulers of the day were having. They recognized the power of Jesus Christ. They recognized the priority of their message. And they realized that their system was in contradiction. So what did they do? They said, you can't talk about Jesus Christ anymore. Now let's think about that in our lives. Is our life like that? Do we talk about Jesus Christ so much that people want to tell us? You know what? Peter and John spoke about Jesus Christ so much that they said, you must stop talking about Jesus Christ. I think of my life sometimes. Is it true? Do I have to be threatened to stop talking about Jesus Christ because I speak about Him so much? Is that true of your life? Sadly, too often our lives characterize the fact that we just don't talk about Jesus Christ. We're afraid. Maybe we're ashamed. Our lives aren't like Peter and John. You know, we could go through other countless lives, the lives of Jim Elliot, Nate Saint. These men were willing to risk their lives for the sake of the Christ's name. It wasn't for their own glory. It was for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the sake of Christ's name. Friends, is your message Jesus Christ crucified? That's what Peter's message was. That's what John's message was. That's what our message is to be. Acts 1:8, ye are witnesses. What are we witnesses of? Jesus Christ crucified. We're witnesses of the power of Christ in our lives. How many times have you told others of what Christ has done in your life? How many times have you shared the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you like those that are always preaching about Jesus Christ? Does your life evidence the power of Christ crucified? Have you repented of your sins? Are you unashamed of His name? Is Jesus a priority in your life? Is He the head of your life? Is His glory your motivation? Or is it simply your fame? Friends, could we say, like Peter and John, would it be said of our lives, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus? Is Jesus Christ so evident in your life that people say that person has Jesus? Could it be said of your life, as Peter and John said in verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard? As we go forth from this conference, from this evening, from this week, what is our motivation? Is it Jesus Christ crucified? What is our message? Is it Jesus Christ crucified? Jesus Christ crucified. The power of Jesus Christ. We look at this world all around us and we see bleakness. We don't need to. The fields are white already to harvest. It doesn't say they were white already to harvest. It says they are white already to harvest. The power of Jesus Christ crucified. 5,000 people were saved. The priority of Jesus Christ crucified. You know, we can live our life. If we're not preaching Jesus Christ crucified, we're missing the main point. As we close, could it be said of your life? If people look at your life, what are you known by? Are you known as a person that has been with Jesus? Would they say of your life that you cannot but speak the things which have happened to you? You cannot speak about Jesus Christ crucified. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for what You've done in our lives, Lord. We thank You for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the truths of this passage, Lord, of Jesus Christ crucified, His power, His priority. Lord, we pray that our motivation might be Jesus Christ glorified. Dear Lord, I pray that as we go forth from this meeting tonight, through the day tomorrow, through the weeks ahead, that our message might be Jesus Christ crucified. Our motivation may be Jesus Christ glorified.